Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Woohoo!
Yeah, good evening out there.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Great to be here tonight. What a beautiful day today here in the North Fork, and I just think in general in Western Colorado. Thank you.
Yeah, we're here. We're on the gravy train now.
Right. And speaking of gravy, we've got some delicious apricots variety here from Lance.
There's one. I grew both of these varieties from seeds, and one's from Ladakh, India, and the other one is Afghani white apricot.
Wow.
And the Afghani white apricot, the pits taste like almonds when you crack them open.
Oh, no
so
kidding.
So I save all those pits.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that Laetril or something.
Laetril.
Right.
That's supposed to be so, it's an anti-cancer medicine.
Yeah.
Right.
You just don't do too much of it.
Yeah, no, not too much.
No, I'm not eating them every day, maybe twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right, and interesting flavor on the fruit there, so very good. All right, it is a call-in show, and I know a lot is going on out there. 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF. Now you can email worm@kvnf.org, and it does feel like things are changing up, like the season is changing over.
Yeah,
out with the old and with the new.
Yeah, well, it is 2 weeks behind still.
Two weeks behind.
That's what I'm seeing in the fruit trees.
Okay.
But, it's funny how fast things are going.
I agree. My little mama apple tree doesn't have, she's not quite ready yet. You know, she's usually ready.
Further along.
Yeah,
well, those two apricots I brought in should have been ready 2 to 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And I have these two Chinese apricots that are always ready now, and they still got 2 weeks to go.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
And what a year for the apricots.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. All over the roadside.
Neil stopped by with another box for me today. Wow. This is so cool.
Yeah. I take care of a yard, and it has a huge old apricot, and a friend picked what she could out of it. And I'm going, this is going to be such a mess to clean this up. But what's happening is as the apricots drop, the turkeys and the deer are eating all the flesh.
Oh, no.
So there's only pits left. Now, where's the squirrel? We'll get it all cleaned up.
Right?
He's busy, too. He'll be around.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Nice.
And the birds are, there's more birds. Every day, I think I hear different birds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The stuff is, and the hummingbirds that make noise, they're back.
Oh, okay.
They are back, exactly. Love watching all the wildlife and toads. You mentioned toads last week.
Yeah, I got lots of baby toads. What's interesting to me, there's no ponds around. I don't have any. And I mentioned those frogs. Where's the standing water for that? But they're there.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Again, it's like every year's different.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know what to expect, but you don't.
Right, but you know what's supposed to happen, but you never know.
It's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just crazy.
527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. And we had a question from Leslie here in Paonia, who had a peony leaf that was chomped on.
Yeah.
Kind of like one of those scissors that you use
pinking
when you're sewing.
Shears.
Yes, pinking shears, exactly. wondering what bug that is, not seeing any grasshoppers or anything, and how to get rid of that.
Oh, you don't want to get rid of it.
It's a beneficial bug.
A leaf eater bee.
Leaf cutter.
Leaf cutter bee.
Yeah.
And it's a bee, and it takes the chewed out part of the leaf, and it goes and feeds its babies.
Well, the other thing is that stuffs holes.
Yeah,
lays an egg, covers it with the leaf, lays another egg, covers it with the leaf, and they hatch the other way out.
No kidding.
Yeah, the last one laid, egg laid is the first one out.
Opportunist.
And little pinholes.
Last, and the leaf eater bees are
working. So are they one of the pollinators? Are they one of the pollinators?
Oh, yeah.
Native pollinators?
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
pollinator. That is beneficial.
We have the
All right,
books
they're
right
going to chew your chew your bug
up. Yeah, they don't cause any harm.
Okay. Yeah, just they the don't edges. Cause it's just cosmetic. Bad. It's just,
all right, you know. Cosmetic. So your plant's okay.
Yeah.
And while you look that up, Lulu, Tricia in Paonia is on the phone. Good evening, Tricia.
Good evening.
Hi. What's going on?
Hi.
Well, we have first. We've got some.
Oop, having a hard time hearing you there, Tricia.
Oh, I'll go in the house a little better.
Perfect. That's better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a garden for the first time this year here, and we have these beautiful heirloom tomatoes, and they're just starting to finally turn red, and we've got these bugs that almost look like a stink bug. But they're sort of, they don't really stink when we swish them, and they look like they're black sometimes and they're green sometimes, and they're attacking our heirloom tomato plants.
Oh.
Are they the green ones?
Yes, but some of them are brown and some of them are black, but they're all over the actual fruit. And then also our leaves are starting to turn brown and curl up.
Wow, that is a all out assault.
We've never had that problem. We've had, the ones that go on the zucchini plants, but these are strictly on the tomatoes, and I actually have about 20 in a bag right now that I got tonight.
Wow.
And
I've never seen them
with
on,
on the fruit.
Haven't either.
Yeah.
And that's why we're concerned, because I don't even know where to start to control them at this point.
Right. Well, diatomaceous earth is, let's start with that first.
Yeah.
Just what should I do?
Get some diatomaceous earth.
Okay.
And start with that, and that might slow them down. The leaf curl is what's even more dangerous, because that might be the disease.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, you technically need to pull the whole plant out and get rid of it.
Okay.
I saw one farm, and I was wondering why there was burning over there, and I looked, and they had 50-gallon drum burning, and it was diseased tomato plants.
Oh, my goodness.
They were actually burning them.
It seems like it's the actual bugs that are doing it, because I pulled them off of the leaves as well, and they were fine up until a couple of days ago.
Yeah, they could be carrying something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Better.
And it seems to be only the heirloom.
That's interesting,
going after.
Huh?
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So,
well,
so just getting some of that sprayed in?
Yeah. Well, it's a dust.
That's the dust. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm just going to say, anybody that's growing heirloom tomatoes can give us some other ideas, other clues.
Okay.
Sure, that'd be great.
Because I've never seen it, and plus I'm not really a tomato fan. So.
Okay.
Lulu's well, good
never
at
had
it.
This problem.
No,
I've never had them. I mean, I've had a couple. We're talking about like the little scarab looking bees, right?
Yeah.
So they, I had a few in my garden, but nothing to.
They like my raspberries.
Oh,
yeah, they
really?
They almost look like the stink bugs that you get on the back, you know, from your plant, the zucchini plants. They almost look like them, but they're
a
little
square.
Different.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I'll try the dust, and we'll start from there.
Good luck, Tricia.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Good to bring that up and to see if anybody else
is out there
familiar with that. Yeah,
I got my Texas bug book in the car, which is in the wrong place.
You've got some homework to do, buddy.
I got pests of the West right here, so we could
look up stink bug.
Here we got Whitney's, both of Whitney's books here. So
there you go.
We're good.
All right, 970-527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Email us worm@kvnf.org, and Jeff's in there ready to take your call. All right. Grasshopper's not too much of a problem. We don't want to get too much stuck on bugs right
much.
Now, but that's good to hear. And doing a lot of thinning out there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's thinning? You were doing beets today.
Yeah, I did beets today. I'm going to do move the collards and kale around tomorrow.
What do you mean moving it around?
Well, they're kind of close together, and so I'll give them more. I want to fill in some blank spots.
Oh, okay.
So instead of just pulling them and not replanting them, I'll pull and transplant.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you take a knife down, cut a square around them, or how do you do that?
Yeah, sometimes if I'm worried about it. But usually I just take my little spade and go for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when they're too close, I'll take, and I need to fill in the blank space, I'll take a, I have old steak knives, and I'll just cut a square thing and pick it up and put it over there.
Yep. Yep. You can do that too. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There's all kinds of funny things you can do, mm-hmm. but.
So moving a lot of stuff around, and you're doing a lot of thinning.
I'm thinning the carrots that I planned for the fall. Then
what is that, carrot bed number?
No. These are just filling in spots.
Oh, filling in spots.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no more.
No carrot report right now?
Well, I mean, they're doing good.
They're doing
I'm harvesting
good.
Carrots.
Okay.
I'm harvesting the small
they
ones.
They are. They're
the rumbas.
Juicy and sweet.
Yeah.
Yep. And the leaf cutter bees are natives.
Okay.
They're beneficial. If you really, really are overwhelmed with them, you might want to do something. And the this book, the Pests of the West book, says you have to net them.
Net them?
Yeah. Because, I mean, netting is, it says, where leafcutter bees were numerous, protecting susceptible plants with netting is the only effective control.
Wow.
Even because if you don't want to use chemicals, you know.
Right.
Now the bee takes it back to the little nest. And
it's a bee.
They're individuals. And so each female, like, as Lance was saying, were we talking about that on the air or was that just us?
No, we were talking about it on there.
Oh, yeah. So each bee, okay. So each, because we
what
talk.
Time is
so,
it?
What? I don't know. Because we talk a lot before we go on. So
yeah.
I was confused. But the female bee is, she has her own little brood that she takes care of. Mm-hmm. We don't want to.
Right.
Everybody.
Gosh, there's so many techniques for taking care of all these different kinds of bugs. It'd be interesting to just kind of go through that.
Well,
like you and your duct tape or your miles and miles of tape and vacuums.
The vacuum.
All the different methods.
Yeah. Or boiling the ants out. That was
right.
That
oh,
was
God.
A good one too.
Fire.
Yeah.
Some but, fun stuff.
Yeah, but you know, never chemicals. Never.
There you mm-hmm. go.
You wreck the whole project
right?
that way. Everything, all those other things like water and stuff. That's that could happen to any ant. You know, mm-hmm.
right?
It could be in a flood zone. Hey,
right? There's something natural about that.
Yeah,
going out that way.
Okay, I'm done now.
All right. 970-527-4868 866 KVNF now. And last week we were going to talk about wood chips a little bit.
Oh, Lance, yes. I see this from time to time and driving around, and I saw a hemp farm and they were mulching their plants with wood chips. It's a sure sign that they will not grow.
Okay, what happens?
Well, the nitrogen gets tied up because bacteria in the soil need the nitrogen to break down the wood chips.
Okay.
And you've just slowed down production for 2 to 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So please, please don't use wood chips in the garden.
Mm-hmm. No, don't.
You know.
But they make great paths.
Great paths.
And if you have areas where you don't, you know.
No plantage.
No plantage. I have one of those spots.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've heard of people, I'm not going to use that area for 3 years. And they dump wood chips out there in 3 years.
It was great.
Uh-huh,
you
right.
know, so you can do
Think
it that
about
way.
It.
You know,
yeah.
in the long term, but for the next 2 years, unless you get those wood chips out of there, you're not going to have very good growth.
It's not going to be so great. Yeah, you know, 50 years from now, when I'm long gone, somebody can rearrange those gardens back there. The trees will change, and everything
mm-hmm.
will change, and they're going to go where those wood chips are, and go, holy mackerel!
This is
going to be nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's going to be sweet.
Yeah, that will be sweet.
So, yeah, it's just another, you know, leave something for the next guy.
Yep.
There you go.
That old Chinese proverb, one generation plants the tree and the other one enjoys the shade.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's a great thing to share right now today. What about the popcorn? Because
popcorn?
Yeah. You didn't do popcorn last year,
no,
did you?
No, it's every few years.
Okay, every few
years.
Yeah,
I still have
popcorn
from 2 years ago, and it pops really good.
Oh, yeah.
But I leave it on the cob. I store it on the cob.
Right, which you think is part of that.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, it's 7 feet tall. The sunflowers are over 8 that I plant in there with them.
Wow,
and all
7 feet tall. That's just a little taller than you.
7 feet tall? It's like 12 or 15 inches taller than me.
Well, hey, I tell you, it's a lot taller than me.
Yeah, just by a smudge.
Yeah, but anyways, popcorn will have on average three ears per stalk, and sometimes up to five.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Nice
and
yield.
Good yield. And then, so there's like 250 plants there. Wow. And each one has three ears of popcorn on them.
So when you go to take the plant off, do you just use that twisting method where you just sort of twist it? Or do you have a...
Oh, you mean the popcorn?
Yeah.
Off the cob?
Yeah.
I just use my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, just twist it. And sometimes it's really hard. I just take a row with my fingernail.
Oh, wow.
Down the whole ear and then push them to the side.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they'll come off.
Get
that
them
way.
Started and then you can just kind of flip them around.
Yeah.
Do you have a basket? Do you hang something around your body? What do you put that in?
Oh, it goes right into a bowl. I only do one ear at a time because that's how I pop it.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I'm not doing large amounts.
If I was just imagining you out in the field.
No, if I did a large amount, I actually have a corn sheller.
Oh.
An old cast iron hand crank.
Right. You do have some old tools and just like put that. They're awesome.
Tarps on the driveway or the ground. And And you can actually put buckets underneath so you can catch most of it.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the phone numbers again because we do have a lot of time left still. 970-527-4868, 1-866 KBNF now. And the seed class is tomorrow. What's happening with that? It's the first Wednesday of August.
August.
Class number?
Six.
Six. Okay.
I counted this morning. But this one's on what we used to call umbrials. And they're not calling them umbrials anymore. They're calling Apiaceae or something like this. In other words, carrots, dill, cilantro.
Apiaceae.
Yeah, it's like, where did people...
That sounds happy.
But an umbral...
I like umbril. Yeah.
I like umbral because they look like umbrellas.
Haven't read why they changed the names, but people just seem to...
They're changing everything
these
days.
Yeah, keep everybody on their toes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to be
keep us young.
Touring the farm at the trading post.
Oh, nice.
So we're actually going to go ahead and have the class out there, have lunch out there, and then tour the farm.
That's the plan. That's a good day.
Yeah, we'll be bringing lots of samples in. I'll be bringing in different carrots and I have seed heads of cilantro and carrots and parsley and dill. So those are all coming.
So a lot of change up.
Yeah.
Over the course or the seed class course. Good deal.
Boy, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Plant a garden. Plant a pot.
Have you
plant
been
anything.
Hearing this new song I've been hearing?
What?
Turn off the news and build a garden.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
I've heard it three or four times this week.
On this station?
Yes, on this station.
Naturally. And that's like the John Prine song, right? Eat a lot of peaches, move to the country, throw out your TV. I love that song.
All right. We've got Doug on the line with a garden report. Lay it on us, Doug.
I love that song, too. That's Greg Brown from Southeast Iowa, about 20 miles from where I
right. Good to know. What's happening?
Willie Nelson's son did the other garden one that Lance talked about.
Okay, Lucas Nelson.
He's got two boys, Lucas and Micah, but I don't know which one did that song.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks for that.
Umbrals are always going to be umbrals because they look like an umbrella. But, we put up some teepees today. We got the Mount Fuji teepee up, and it's about 12 foot tall. And hanging some barbed wire, so they have stuff to grab onto.
Beans? Pole beans?
No. This is for that big squash patch that you saw.
Okay.
We got 12 teepees out there, one big one, a bunch of them made out of steel posts. We're going to put up some more. We've got about 70% mulch.
Great.
And everything's starting to run, so we better hurry.
Good
work. They aren't going to let us in there much longer. They're starting to blind. Once we get them with some water, they'll really take off. Fruit set, blooming hard, Everything looks pretty good. Still losing a few to maybe mosaic. I don't know. Mostly the Cinderella pumpkins keep dying off. One here, one there.
Oh, wow.
But very little squash pressure or bud pressure, squash bud pressure. And again, mostly on the pumpkins. So, yeah, that's oh, corn got one pollinating nurse. And another one's got ear set. One starting to.
This is a garden report.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
he's moving right along here.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll put new strawberry plants, new strawberry bed, grass.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff on the
All right. Things moving right along.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate the update. Good to hear from you.
Night. All right.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
Yeah. All right. And Lucas Nelson sings that song. So thank you. Thank you, Doug, for bringing that on.
Right?
All
okay,
right.
You guys, save us from ourselves. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
All right. Something very interesting we were talking about earlier is now is the time to trim some plants, including the lavender, which was just succulent.
Spectacular. Yeah.
What a year for lavender.
Yeah. No, I've been trying to figure that one out, but it's right after the bloom.
Really?
And whether you've harvested the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when you prune them back, even hedge them lightly. And every new shoot that comes out this fall will be a bloom next year. So you could double your bloom.
Wow. By trimming now.
Trimming now. Yeah. Now, if you're growing them for a seed, for an oil crop, you're not going to harvest now. But if you're going to trim now and the homeowners, I would trim them back.
One of the things we've talked about previously is really going after that and how they can get woody if you don't chop them back. So is that what we're doing, getting kind of the big old
–
after it at this time of year?
Yeah. I kind of don't get super aggressive about it. Because a lot of the reason is because I can't really see what's going on in there because there's so many other things
going
on.
Yeah, right. There is a lot going on right now.
Well, that real heavy stuff that you've just
I
do that in the spring. You can see where winter kills.
To do that.
You can see it
so
better.
Just trim it back. And
this is just to try to maintain it and keep it, but I've seen people's yards where they just can't prune those lavenders. Well, in the spring, you'll see what happens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you really need to keep them under control now.
Right, right. You do have to prune them. And
And the sage.
Sage, too.
And the sage is that way, too. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And if you prune it back now and you get all those old dead blooms off.
Right.
You get in there and it's kind of funny. It's almost like you don't really know where to stop. But go ahead and stop.
Yeah, take it back a little because it was prolific this year too. It was just crazy.
Yeah,
and then in the spring you can see where it's dead and where it's not, and then you go after it and really shape it up.
Yeah,
and,
but at least cut the dead blooms off.
Yeah, cut the dead blooms.
Cut the dead blooms off.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of dead blooms around.
Everywhere
on everything. Yeah. Oh, hey, good. Jennifer in Cedar Edge wants to talk lavender. Hi, Jennifer.
Yeah. Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Great. Good. What's going on?
Good. So my ears perked up when I heard lavender.
Good.
Mine are kind of a little overgrown, but you talked about trimming the dead blooms off.
Yeah.
Can I prune them as well? Should I prune them? Was that in the same conversation?
The heavy pruning in the spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I've actually seen people that actually have taken their hedging shears to their lavender plants.
Okay.
It worked really good.
In the spring?
In the spring, yeah.
Okay, but for now, just cut the dead flowers off.
Yeah, and you might, if they seem to be getting too lanky, I would cut it back just a little bit.
Clean it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just kind of clean it out. I mean, the sage is the same way. It's hard to know where to stop, but you got to make yourself stop.
Yeah, and it is lanky right now.
Yeah. If you cut those ones that are getting lanky, they're going to make two shoots. You'll double your bloom for next year.
That's what
you're trying to do.
I seem to have some dead parts of my lavender right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Should I cut that out?
Yeah,
if you know it's dead, sure, go right ahead.
Get rid of it, yeah.
And it's okay to cut the dead right now?
Yep.
Yep.
Cut dead now. Okay.
The most outrageous lavender plant ever was at Farm and Home this summer, spring.
Oh, really?
Oh,
really?
It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge.
I really need a tool that I can just buzz off the scent flowers.
Oh, interesting.
I saw one on Facebook once. I can't believe I didn't get it, but I'm still looking for it. My next question is going to be about lilac, my lilac bush. And at one time, you guys said to just prune one-fifth of a lilac every year.
Yeah.
Well, I really want to go more than that. What kind of damage am I going to do?
None.
It will just... You know, thin it out. What I would do is thin it to where you want it. And then if you still want it lower, then you top them.
Okay.
Well, that's what I want to do is top them. Pretty much strictly just top them.
Well, do you have, what size are those big branches? What's the diameter?
What's the diameter?
No, maybe
2 fingers
around.
How
many inches that is, like 5 inches maybe?
Okay,
yeah.
You got to get those out of there. Yeah. I would just cut them to the ground.
Okay, perfect. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, those big ones. Those big ones cut to the ground. The new, younger stuff will take over in a couple years.
Perfect.
Wow.
And it's really good firewood. And if
Yes, it is. I know. Yeah.
It's a hardwood. And if you know any woodworkers, you got those 5-inch stocks. It's really good carving wood for spoons and ladles and stuff like that.
Oh, I appreciate that as well. My brother is a carver, so I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Great questions. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, see, I let my lilacs get big.
Yeah, and there's certain situations she wants to get rid of them, so
not
get rid of them, but bring them down.
Manage them, yeah.
And if you top those big ones, it just, it's a mess. It's better to take it to the ground and let new stuff come up.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Some of mine got very badly damaged by scale.
Is that a disease or a bug?
It's an insect. Creature. Yeah, and it's kind of like
Think of a limpet that's on a rock. Only it's a little insect on the other side of a leaf.
Oh, okay.
Or think of a barnacle.
A barnacle.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
It's kind of like that. And they damaged a couple of my lilac trees, and I'm going to cut all that damaged wood out.
Mm-hmm.
But the one tree that I really worked over this spring is just glorious.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
nice.
So now I'm going to get all the spent blooms out for two reasons. A, then I get more next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And B, I don't get the seeds everywhere. Yeah. God, they are prolific.
Yeah. Now,
so we can do that now on the lilac.
Yeah. The scale is one of those ones that is very susceptible to your dormant oil sprays in the wintertime.
Oh, okay.
Oh, huh.
So if you come over, you know, you have a winter weekend, they usually do that March sometime. That
spring.
Scale... It winters over in the crotches and, you know, real tight and stuff. And the dormant oils will take care of most of that.
They'll work
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it kind of took care of itself. It's clearly not there.
Mm-hmm.
But all the scars.
The bark.
Yeah.
The bark.
Oh, interesting.
It's dead and you can see all the little scars.
They suck the juice out.
Suck the juice right out.
Yeah.
Yeah, little rascals.
Right.
And you can, you know, if you don't have a huge infestation, you can rub them off.
Rub them off,
Yeah,
another tree thing, we only have a few minutes, but you were thinking of taking little mama out this year. Some kind of the fire blight, is that
the
it?
The fire blight, man. Yeah. And it's not as bad right now as it's been in the past, but it's a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
And half of her's dead anyway. From it, and then there's one spot where she's trying to grow some new stuff.
She's put up a big, good fight.
Yeah.
She really has.
She's quite a woman.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I baked 2 apple pies with the apples from last year, and now I have to get all the apples this year and freeze them. And
yeah,
that'll be that.
Oh, that's sweet. I'd like to share a piece of pie with you, a little mama pie on that.
Yeah, you could come by.
And other trees, like you're taking out your mulberries.
I'm going to take out the mulberries.
Right.
And but I've already transplanted seedlings outside the garden.
Oh, mulberry trees?
Mulberry trees, okay. Yeah. But they're just really, really big, and they're – what do I want to say? Their root system is 50 to 70 feet outside the drip line. I'm seeing the roots, and they're sucking up so much water.
Right.
I was going to bring in one of those suckers that I keep trying to get rid of in my garden. I forgot.
Yeah. Keeps on coming.
Yeah, so that's the main reason.
Keeps on
main
coming
reason.
Back. Oh, man. What you doing?
Yeah. So, anyways, and a tremendous amount of shade.
Right. Right, you know, yeah, especially a lot of shade. They're beautiful trees.
They're beautiful, but it's mainly the shade is in the evening or morning or evening when the sun's on the angles.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. That's...
What about the honey locust?
Shade master locust, that's going to come out too.
Oh, shade master locust.
Yeah. Yeah, mine will probably come out, not right away, but the idea was the two shade masters would mature and get big quickly, and the maple tree, which is a slower growing variety of maple tree that spreads way out. It's really great house maple. Hmm. That's going to take another few years.
Yeah.
But those silver maples that are in the cluster, I am in
the tree. You created a monster. Yeah. You let a monster create
Well, they got to be. They're 30 feet high if they're an inch.
Whoa.
I mean, they're really high. And, you know, when 17 years ago, they weren't as tall as the second story of the house.
Right.
Yeah. They were tiny, and I thought, oh, and this isn't going to be a problem in my lifetime.
You can't, they time flies.
Yeah. Well,
trees grow.
Well, and it's just the environment here.
Yeah.
Everything grows.
So
river bottom soil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just gorgeous. So.
All right. Great to hear everything going on. Thanks to our callers tonight and to our listeners out there who are just listening.
Yeah, all the people that just love to hear us ramble on.
Yep. You could email us your questions, like maybe just during the week you think of something.
Yeah.
You can email worm@kvnf.org, and you can always listen to the show at kvnf.org. And it looks like it's Bob coming up with one
Bob's perspective.
Romance.
No, he's got
perspective.
It
going on. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you, Lance, Lulu, back next Tuesday for As the Worm Turns.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Good.
Good night, everybody. With taillight neon, you've got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.